to the Council to intervene and choose diplomacy over confrontation. You stressed that Iran has already done its part by signing a new cooperation agreement with the UN Nuclear Agency and offering a balanced proposal which addresses genuine concerns and is mutually beneficial. Arachi concluded by saying that there is still a way forward, but Iran cannot be the sole responsible actor. Larry Johnson, a former CIA analyst, joined us earlier to discuss what's going on behind the scenes of Europe's nuclear allegations against Iran. Here's what he had to say.
Europe never complied with the JCPOA. They signed on to it, and they did not lift the sanctions, as was required by the JCPOA. When I first heard that Iran was engaging the IAEA, I was a little shocked by that because of the role that I believe the IAEA played in spying on Iran and passing intelligence to Israel that was used to target Iranian scientists. That's a level of perfidy and betrayal that I think is unacceptable. However, having gone back and reread the JCPOA agreement and the issue involving snapback sanctions, I understand why Iran is pursuing. Iran's trying to do everything by the book. Iran is, some might argue, foolishly trying to play by the rules of the so-called international rules-based order. The problem with that is that the West, they apply the rules only as it favors them. They don't apply them equitably. And so what they're doing here is playing a game.
Thursday was the fourth day of the annual General Conference of the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, in Vienna. The Iranian delegation attending the conference is pushing for a resolution on prohibition of attacks on nuclear facilities, but several countries have urged Iran to postpone the resolution. Dieter Reinisch reports from Vienna.
The Iranian delegation attending the IAEA General Conference has held an event shedding light on the country's resolution that reaffirms the prohibition of attacks on nuclear facilities. The Venezuelan envoy to Vienna chaired the event.
Welcome to this side event organized by the Islamic Republic of Iran to address the issue of the attacks against nuclear sites and facilities, a serious threat to international peace and security, and to address its implications for the non-proliferation regime.
The event was addressed by some of the IAEA states which co-sponsored it, such as China, Pakistan and South Africa.
All the members, they should side with one side, which is preserving the NPT regime and IAEA safeguard regime. So let's work together to side on the right side of history.
Given the grave consequences for population and the environment of any attacks on nuclear facilities, in our view, the space for attacks on nuclear facilities is non-existent.
Meanwhile, Russia called on Britain, France and Germany, collectively known as the E3, to stop the snapback mechanism. The E3 triggered the mechanism in early August that would restore UN Security Council sanctions against Iran. The final deadline for a decision is September 27. The Russian envoy also criticized US and Israel for attacking Iranian nuclear sites in June.
What Israel and the United States did was the biggest blow to the IAEA safeguards system. The E3 should also stop the implementation of snapback mechanism in New York. Triggering snapback was illegal, politically irrelevant and counterproductive.
Iran's permanent representative to the IAEA reiterated the illegality of the U.S. and Israeli attacks on the Iranian nuclear sites.
The attack on the Iran's nuclear facilities under the IAEA safeguard is unprecedented in the history of the agency. This is the first time while the facility being under full scope safeguards of the agency and inspected on a daily basis. We had inspectors in all facilities almost all the time, and facilities been attacked by one non-party to the NPT, and the other one, unfortunately, the depository of the NPT, which is the United States.
The U.S. delegation is meanwhile putting pressure on IAEA member states, particularly in the Western and North African regions, not to support the Iranian resolution.
In 1977, Amendments 1 and 2 of the Geneva Convention prohibited attacks and threats on nuclear facilities. But the U.S. are threatening to cut bilateral ties with countries if the Iranian resolution passes. A reckless behavior putting global security at risk. Dieter Reinisch, Vienna.
The Israeli regime presses ahead with its ground offensive against Gaza City, which has so far killed many Palestinians and forcefully displaced thousands of others. Three civilians were killed in airstrikes on Gaza City's Al-Nasr and Al-Rimal areas, while three others lost their lives in an airstrike west of the city. Nearly a dozen Palestinians were also killed in combined air and artillery strikes on the Atafah neighborhood and the Ashati refugee camp west of Gaza City. Death and injuries were also reported after Israeli forces opened fire on displaced people sheltering in tents in the Al-Mawasi area of the southern city of Khan Yunus. Medical sources reported four new deaths from malnutrition, raising the total toll to 435. That includes 147 children. Nearly 10 aid seekers were also killed by Israeli forces on Thursday. The death toll from the Israeli genocide now exceeds 65,000, with over 165,900 others injured. Hamas has strongly condemned Washington's veto of another UN Security Council resolution that called for immediate, unconditional, and permanent ceasefire in Gaza. Hamas said blocking the draft resolution proved the United States' blatant complicity and full partnership in the Israeli genocide of Palestinians. It added that the veto is also a green light to Israel to continue killing and starving Gazans and press ahead with its criminal aggression against Gaza City. The resolution was drafted by the 10 non-permanent members of the Security Council and was backed by 14 out of its 15 members. It demanded that Israel immediately and unconditionally lift all restrictions on the entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza. This is the sixth time that the United States has vetoed a UN Security Council resolution on the Gaza ceasefire. The US's decision to veto another UN Security Council resolution to halt the Gaza genocide drew strong backlash from other members of the council. Palestine's ambassador condemned the veto as both regrettable and painful.
This draft resolution represents the bare minimum that humanity, legality, and morality dictate. It is deeply regrettable and painful that it has been blocked, preventing the Security Council from playing its rightful role in the face of these atrocities and to protect civilians in the face of genocide. It is regrettable that you, the custodians of the maintenance of International Peace and Security Council, were unable to act in that direction.
Mansour said Palestinians had hoped the Security Council would help end the war on Gaza, but the U.S. veto left them angry, frustrated, and deeply disappointed. He added that the pain and anguish endured daily by the Palestinians in Gaza should move any human being. Along the same line, Russia's ambassador Vasily Nebenzia slammed the U.S. veto as a blow to diplomacy. He said the Security Council has been paralyzed by the will, or rather the absence of the will, of a single delegation. China's representative Fu Kong also expressed deep disappointment over the veto, stressing that once again the Council's attempt to act was forcefully blocked by the U.S. Political commentator Eric Wahlberg joined us earlier. He says the world needs a new United Nations with new regulations, especially regarding the right of veto.
It's not a surprise. U.S. is supporting Israel. U.S.-Israel is what I call it. They're like Siamese twins. They are conjoined. I don't know if it's blackmail on the part of Israel of Trump, although so much of his Epstein files have already been exposed. But even there, it doesn't seem to matter in American politics. It's really smoke and mirrors is the kind of politics. I think what will have to happen is the U.S. and Israel will have to be excluded from the UN. I think it's really, we have to construct the new UN, which is what Putin Putin and Xi of China and Modi of India, they want to build a new UN without this veto of the U.S. So I think that that's what we're really looking for. First of all, expel Israel. And once Israel is expelled, then if it's still Trump, Trump will pull out of the UN himself.
Hundreds of UN staff have gathered in the Swiss city of Geneva to protest the targeting of humanitarian workers by the Israeli regime in Gaza. The UN staff carry placards and lay white roses next to a memorial plaque to pay tribute to hundreds of aid workers killed in Gaza. Figures reveal that over 500 aid workers have been killed in the Gaza war since October 2023.
We have never seen such a high number of deaths. It's true that in the past, we have lost humanitarian colleagues in various operations, and we have always protested against that, in line with humanitarian law. But what we are seeing today is on a scale never seen before. We have never had more than 370 colleagues killed in this way in a single war, a single conflict. First, we expect our colleagues to be protected, so that we can be protected during the exercise of our functions. We also expect our independence to be protected, so that we can continue to perform and carry out our mandate and our work. And we also expect, of course, because we are working for peace, that leaders do everything they can to accelerate and enable peace to return.
Days before the UN General Assembly is set to start, protesters in New York stood in front of embassies and the UN to convey rage over the continuous killing of the Palestinians at the hands of the Israelis. Our correspondent Rachel Hamdoun has more on the story.
Under the title Uniting for Peace, many New Yorkers demonstrated in the city to call on the United Nations to end the genocide in Gaza and hold the Israeli occupation accountable for its war crimes. The protesters marched, passing by multiple embassies such as that of Brazil, France, and Jordan, to condemn them for their inaction in stopping the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians while holding banners against the stabilization of the genocide.
We need immediate intervention into Gaza. Now we're watching the most brutal genocide live streamed. They obviously have no interest in a ceasefire. They've violated every international law. So we need to stand up as the global community and unite for peace, because this is setting a dangerous precedent for the entire world. It's time to unite for peace. It's time to stand up to America and to Israel. And it's time to demand that we follow international law. This is the one-year ruling of the ICJ ruling, where they're supposed to be stopping this genocide. The UN has now officially declared it a genocide. So I don't know what more people need to see, but it's time to act now.
So we're here to call attention to the fact that the UNGA's resolution, without teeth, does nothing. Israel has no respect for international law. It is committing the genocide, and it's intensifying it. And it's time for the UNGA to do something that really has teeth. It's time for them to pass a Uniting for Peace resolution that would send a protective force to Palestine and implement sanctions. And they have the chance to do that.
The U.S. is complicit. Our government is complicit. And I ask people, you know, when was the last time you saw Republicans and Democrats holding hands and singing Kumbaya together? Only when it's supporting Israel, mind you. And if this shouldn't be a wake-up call for people in all political parties and all political persuasions to ask why the hell that's happening, I think this is the time to do it right now. I mean, bottom line, this is about Gaza. This is about the fact that in weeks, Gaza will not exist anymore.
The demands for the UN today are revoking Israel's UN credentials, forming a war tribunal, establishing a multinational task force to protect civilians, and sanctioning Israel. Now, this all happens as September 18th marks the deadline by the UN for Israel to withdraw from Palestinian territories.
We interviewed world-renowned singer, songwriter, and activist Roger Waters, who expressed to us what he would say to world leaders silent on the genocide.
Say to them, come on, guys, get on board. You know we're right. You all know that we're right. And what you've been doing is wrong. You've got to stand up to the United States of America and the UK and the other Zionist mobsters in the world and say no.
Within days, all eyes will be on the UNGA debate and whether international law will be upheld for once or the genocide will continue through its second year. Rachel Hamdoun, New York.
The Yemeni army says it has carried out another retaliatory strike against Israeli targets in the occupied Palestinian territories in support of Gaza. Sari stated that the operations were carried out in retaliation for the ongoing Israeli genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza and the regime's aggression against Yemen. He said the strikes forced millions of Zionist settlers to flee to shelters and led to the closure of the airspace over the occupied Palestine. Sari vowed that the Yemeni armed forces will continue to target the Umm Rash Rash area. He also indicated that Yemen will continue its operations against Israel until the aggression against Gaza ends and the siege of the territory is lifted. Thank you so much for staying with us.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another enlightening episode of Islamic Upbringing, where we dive deep into the essential aspects of nurturing your youth in line with Islamic teachings. In this program, our discussions are rooted in the guidance of the Holy Quran and the timeless wisdom of Hadith from our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, and the insightful narratives of our noble Imams. I'm glad to have with us today Brother Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, a research scholar from the Seminary of Qom, who possesses a wealth of knowledge in both Islamic studies as well as psychology. So, Brother Liaqat Abbas, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, Brother Liaqat, today we have a question. We have a question from a teenage girl who says that when she sees other mothers and their daughters outside her own home, she feels like their mothers are more loving towards their own daughters. And when then she compares that with her own mother, who usually is upset with not waking up early of the children and has a bad mood old age. So she feels like this is not fair. Other mothers are more loving and more caring towards their daughters. So what is your take on that? What are your initial thoughts on this? Like, it seems that a teenager is comparing the parenthood.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Normally, this happens amongst teenagers, amongst children as well, where children see that see an action of another parent, and the child is like, oh, why is it not happening with me?
Me.
Yeah. So this question normally remains in the heart of the child or the teen, example, and they won't portray it to others. Over here, alhamdulillah, this teen has portrayed it. So this is a good thing, alhamdulillah. But normally this is there. Like, they won't share it with their parents for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know what? I've seen this with regards to my friend.
So you're saying if a teenager is even expressing this, it's a good sign.
It's a good sign, yes. It's a good sign. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, number one. Number two is...
keeping it inside is bad?
It's not good. It's not good at all. Okay, number two is when the teen normally sees this, example, the mother is upset with her over here, yeah? Or the father is upset with her.
Also has mentioned the reason, like waking up late.
Waking up late, example. Yeah, perfect. When you know the reason, it becomes much easier.
Okay.
Over here, the very fact that the teen is getting up late is making the mood of a mother very bad, yeah? For whatever reason.
Okay. And I think that should be, any mother should actually.
But it depends.
Because waking up early
but it depends till what extent, yeah? Example, the mother is getting too upset, which shouldn't happen. In the process of bringing, there's a limit where example, the parents should be going till
a
certain level, even in upsetness, yeah?
Right.
Even when you show that you are not happy with the child, there's a certain level.
So I was like, today we are going to say this is a poor teen, but unfortunately we always usually have this, that there's always these poor parents.
Mm.
So their upset level has also.
Yeah, exactly.
To be
over here, maybe
balanced.
Maybe the parent showed too much of upsetness.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is the reason that the teen
nice,
is feeling.
Right?
Yeah, definitely it's not good. It's not good at all, yeah? So, for which is the reason the teen is like, oh, you know what? My mother is always upset with me, and I can see other mothers so kind, so loving, so caring towards their children or towards their teens. Yeah, my friend's parents, example, and it goes on. The story goes on. So over here, number one for the teen herself, example, or himself, who is going through this kind of
situation.
This kind of situation. Yeah, exactly. We have to tell them. Okay, look. Why is your mother getting upset? Because of you not waking up early. Why are you not waking up early is also a question now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the teen is on the phone call or is on the phone,
or
social
has
media.
Or has troubles waking up early.
Or maybe waking up. Exactly. Like, it should be sorted. Yeah.
Okay. This is something that needs to be discussed more. I'll take a pause here and we'll be back in a while.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman. Don't give in to Shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, wa Khaliquna, wa Rasiquna, wa Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have started discussing some of the parents' questions and the teenagers' questions as well. So this program is not limited to the questions of the parents only. We also take up questions from the teenagers or the children themselves so that a life is made better between the parents and the teenagers themselves. So yeah, Brother Liaquat, we had a question that a teenager is comparing her mother with other mothers and finds out that other mothers are more kind, and she herself admitted that her mother is usually upset with her because of her waking up late. And you said, first of all, the reason is known, and the thing that the child portrayed herself is a good sign. It's not a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not keep it within. She mm-hmm. expressed this, and she expressed the thought and also she's seeking the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you first have a message for the mother, like, she should not be too upset. Her upset level has to be balanced.
Yes.
And also you have to look for the underlying reasons why the child is waking up late.
Example, normally, usually in teens, they have the capacity to sleep up to like 10 to 11 hours sometimes. Yeah. So actually this is the same question which was portrayed in front of me. There was a teen who used to sleep a lot. Because not because he used to sleep late, because it's his habit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping a lot is his habit, and actually it's his need. And it was his summer vacation, and during holidays he would sleep more, okay, and would always get like, I would say, scoldings from his father and stuff. So I was like, okay, do one thing. No matter what you do, okay, no matter how deep you sleep, try to wake up in front of him. Like, you wake up so that you are with your father. He doesn't see you sleeping a lot. Okay, mm-hmm. Example. And there was one fine day where he should be traveling. Okay, and he had to catch a train. And I was like, okay, do one thing. Tomorrow that you're gonna catch a train. Okay, you have your, like, the departure of the train in the morning. Yeah, so do one thing. Even if you wake up late, make sure that you start from your home on time, dedicated time, yeah? Like 30 minutes before departure, yeah? 30 minutes before the departure of the train, you have to start from your home. This is your deadline. This you can't miss. He was like, okay. And the next day, it happened that he overslept, and he woke up just 10 minutes before he has to leave the home.
All right.
Okay?
30 minutes.
But alhamdulillah, the good part was, he could get ready in like 10 minutes and he left towards the station. And he got on the train, and his father, all the way, he was telling his son, like, you're good for nothing, and like, you don't wake up early and stuff, okay? And of course, I have trained him, so he was like, don't say anything, just be calm, maintain your cool and everything. And they reached on time. And when the teen caught the train, like, he got inside and everything, there was still time remaining, like about 10 minutes or something. And when the train left, he waved his father goodbye. He was going to a place. And then he saw the eyes of the father completely wet with tears. Tears were rolling down from the eyes of the father.
All right.
And he was like, why are you crying? Like, when the train was moving. Mm-hmm. And the father says to him, I'm sorry for what I have scolded to
and
what I've done to you.
Now that's interesting, and let's discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, a righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat Abbas is here, and we are discussing the parent and teenage issues here. We had two issues that popped up into each other, and these were the similar issues. So I would want you to continue.
Yeah. So over here, the father started to cry. And looking at this, even the son started to cry. Please don't cry. Like the emotional bonding and stuff.
Increased.
So, yeah. So he was like, I'm so sorry. And I've realized I shouldn't have spoken to you in that manner which I've spoken. I thought you would miss your train and stuff. Then the teen was like, it's okay, I completely forgive you. That's completely fine. And I know that I'm not going to miss something. I know my sleep issues are there with me. This teen was really suffering with sleep issues. Like, he would sleep a lot, yeah? So
sometimes you have to look for the underlying issues and also...
Yeah, but the teen knows his responsibilities as well, yeah?
What are your comments on comparing?
Yeah.
Should teenagers be comparing their parents literally?
You know,
or
comparing is a bad act, I would say. Why? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with parents, okay, then it means that there is a big hikmah or wisdom behind why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you these parents. Likewise with the children, okay. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your spouse, your children, they are your wealth example, yeah, they are a test for you, yeah. With regards to parents, your children are a test for you. Why are these particular children blessed to you? Why not others? Yeah. Example, why not your neighbor's children are with your parents? And why isn't it that you are with your neighbors? Example, considering them as parents. Yeah. They are hikmah. They are big wisdoms behind this particular act. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the
you
parents
with
particular children
particular
and the
child.
Yeah, the children with particular parents. Yeah. There's this thing, like the other day I was having this discussion where the scholar was telling that, you know what, over in these cases, you cannot complain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over here, the state of rida or the state of acceptance completely should be there. Example, if the mother or the father are bad towards a child, then the scholar was like, yes, completely. Then even if the children are bad towards the parents, the parents should accept them in the manner that these are my children. Yes. Not that, okay, this particular act is a good act or example. Even if the child does something bad,
try
it's a good
act. Try to fix the act rather than targeting the personality itself.
Exactly. So you see example over here itself, just because of the act of the teen, just because of being kind, calm, everything,
The father would cry.
You imagine, like you see, the action would change. And once the teen got back from the place where he went, the father would hug him, would show him even more love.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, if the parent himself or herself are troubling, suffering from a disease, a spiritual disease, example, they have to seek counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Or the teen can approach a scholar, example, in order to make them understand.
Right.
And with regards to comparing itself, no, the teen shouldn't be comparing.
All right.
Should seek du'as instead, inshallah. So that,
seek help rather than comparing them because everyone, you usually see the good of others. You don't see when the other parents are angry with their own children. Maybe they are worse than yours. So don't compare. So you're suggesting comparison is not a good thing.
Indeed.
And also you guided us through. Thank you so much for your valuable advices. Thank you so much to your parents. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.
In a hot night in the summer in the late 1930s, a teenage boy who had recently lost his father in a street fight saw a superhuman character in his dream who had replaced his father. Strong, smart, fast, and protector of security, a superhero that the crisis-stricken American society anxiously waited for, so he'd rescue them from the economic problems and injustice of the 1930s.
Fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
Not many people thought that the dream of a teenager would be so influential and leave such a huge impact on the future of a country. The Americans of the 1930s were challenged with social and economic problems, injustice, and crime. They needed a source of power who could put an end to their crises. A superhuman solution should have been found for the problems apparently no human being could solve. That was how Superman, the first superhero of comic stories, became the solution to the crisis. It was a DC company that released the red and blue clad man stories for the first time and started the narratives of a superhero. Superman fought against injustice in American society, corrupt officials and gangsters, and supported the oppressed and miserable people. Every day, American weapons would stoke tensions in the war in Europe, and the U.S. in return would reap a huge economic benefit from selling weapons to the country involved in the war. Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor in the United States served as an excuse to push the public to support Washington's engagement in the war. At that time, Captain America was quite helpful in setting the stage for the U.S. to get involved in the war. All American superheroes fought alongside the U.S. Army against the villain forces who had threatened America. In a period of 20 years after propagating American values, about 78 million children were born during the baby boom. That generation always felt the shadow of a nuclear war. The baby boom generation had become teens who started their activities
to take part in society and express their demands. They needed new heroes to shout their demands out loud. As a generation grew up, the crime rates among the youth during the 60s rose. They lived during an economic boost and would never understand their father's concerns. It was like that generation and their parents were born in two different countries and were in two different worlds. They voted for Kennedy as a young and handsome president. They loved the Beatles and gradually started hippie bands.
That's why these children are practicing to...
Hulk, a character who turns into a green monster due to atomic radiation. As he was repelled by society, he turned into a popular hero for the baby boom generation who felt alienated from their own identities. Marvel's other nuclear hero and the most popular one during the period was Spider-Man. Peter Parker, an introvert, thin teenage boy who was from a baby boom generation, turned into a hero with amazing powers after he was bitten by a nuclear radiation-infected spider. Marvel introduced other heroes like Ant-Man, Thor, Iron Man, and X-Men with the same principles. Marvel's new heroes were nervous, complicated characters with a list of deficiencies whose human aspects were magnified and were distinguished from the flawless characters before. The baby boom generation changed society. Following social injustices, the Vietnam War, racism, and the assassination of their popular president, Kennedy, the generation triggered a social revolution and questioned American values and causes. During those years, the Cold War reached its pinnacle. The Soviet influence in Vietnam increased, and the U.S. did not want to lag behind the rivalry. People in the U.S. took to the streets to protest the Vietnam War. But the most important superhero in the hero-making industry in the U.S. concurrent with the Vietnam War was Iron Man, whose real name was Tony Stark. The Vietnam War, with its huge casualties and costs, was one of the shameful decisions in the eyes of Americans, and the opposition had snowballed. Society needed to be convinced. Someone had to sympathize with the people who had lost their sons and daughters. It was Iron Man who was tasked to do so. In the 1960s, he initially supported the U.S. Army's involvement in the Vietnam War, arguing that the U.S. will make a lot of money selling weapons.
For your consideration,
but gradually, he faced many changes. He was increasingly disillusioned with U.S. foreign policy. In the mid-1970s, he expressed remorse for the deaths of people who were killed by the weapons that he made and said he will take revenge for the people who lost their lives, especially for ignorant people like himself.
I saw young Americans killed by the very weapons I created to defend them and protect them, and I saw that I had become part of a system that is comfortable with zero accountability.
Hey, Ben.
What happened over there?
I had my eyes open. I came to realize that I have more to offer
this world than just making things to blow up. And that is why, effective immediately, I am shutting down the weapons manufacturer division until such a time as I can decide what the future of this company will be, what direction it should take, one that I'm comfortable with and is consistent with the highest.
The change in his character was a symbol of change in American society that had become aware of its own identity. The enemies of the superheroes were no longer the Germans, Japanese, communists, or any other foreign entity. The main enemy was inside the United States. During this period, the protests by people of color against racial discrimination spread. Leaders like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. turned into the symbols of resistance against the U.S. structure. The protests were at their highest after the assassination of Malcolm X in 1965. The incidents made Marvel create its first black character named the Black Panther. The scandal caused by President Richard Nixon, his resignation, and high inflation and unemployment rates made things worse.
In Washington, a break-in at the Watergate Hotel was found to involve five men in the pay of the committee to re-elect President Nixon. The burglar's target was the office of the chairman of the Democratic Party. The story was to make the names of two young local reporters from the Washington Post.
The catastrophe following Nixon's corruption case and the Watergate scandal gripped American rulers by the collar. They had realized that public opinion needed to calm down. And just like in the past, the superheroes were the best options. In one of the comic stories in this period, Captain America, with his fake copy, namely the Captain America in the 1950s who fought for the U.S. Army, tells himself, "I've never fought with my own demonic part. A man with patriotic dreams, I'm responsible for the evil he did." Captain America was fighting with a sinister empire that wanted to take control of the U.S. In the end, he captured head of the White House, and by removing his mask, he realized the U.S. president was the head of the evil group. The story is about disgraced Nixon administration. This time, unlike the previous times, the captain didn't become happy after achieving victory, and he abandons the fight. He loses faith in Americans and chooses to become a stateless man. He says, "I've done things that I don't take pride in anymore, but I always tried to serve my country well. Now I can see that the government is serving itself." The bitter taste of those days made Spider-Man stories bitter. Something rare happened in Spider-Man. Mary Jane, Spider-Man's fiancée, was killed in a fight. Spider-Man blamed himself for Mary Jane's death and never stopped reprimanding himself following the incident. It was similar to how Americans felt about their government. Marvel adopted this line and made social criticism in its stories. DC also tried to become aligned with social developments to some extent. So, it introduced a real hero against the power structure in America in its stories. He was the greatest and the eternal boxer, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali won the Olympic gold medal at the age of 20. He was always against the government because of the oppression against the black community. And because of his stance, he didn't join the army so he wouldn't be forced to fight for the U.S. Army in Vietnam. Muhammad Ali was a symbol of resistance against U.S. dominance, and he had become an international figure. And DC used the popular hero. In one of the stories, Superman, who's a symbol of America, was defeated by Muhammad Ali in a boxing bout. Later, they made up a team to save the planet from aliens. In the end, Muhammad Ali wins in a boxing competition against the aliens, and Earth was saved. The pictorial story became the best-selling comic in the late 1970s. After Ronald Reagan took office in the 1980s, he made the government smaller but expanded the army. The conflict with the Soviets escalated, and American citizens' nationalistic support boosted thanks to professional media techniques. Reagan, who was formerly a movie star, knew very well how to act like a hero. Amid the Soviet threats and the Cold War, many people were scared of widespread crime. The Reagan administration was an avid proponent of individualism and consumerism, while the population was more scared of the violence. In Night of Darkness, there's a character of the president in the city of Gotham. It shows a cartoon of Reagan and his nationalistic speech.
Brave American forces are now engaged in direct combat with Soviet troops in Corto Maltese. Now those Soviets would like to see us turn our tails and run, but we've got to protect our interest, stand up for freedom. So don't you fret, we've got God on our side. Or the next best thing, anyway.
While his city was about to collapse because of injustice, in the real world, on December 22, 1984, a citizen from New York named Bernard Goetz shot thieves with 4 bullets to defend himself. People sympathized with him, and the court that had already indicted Goetz acquitted him. He became the symbol of a person who has provided security and safety for himself in a chaotic world. He saved himself through his acts of violence. The situation provided comic books with sufficient ammo, and new characters stepped in. In response to the world of violence, 3 characters, namely Punisher, Daredevil, and Logan, torture their enemies through the most violent methods and would kill them after they lost a lot of blood.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran, and I'm your host from the next hour. Here are some interesting facts about the Holy Quran. Surah Yasin is considered the heart of the Quran for its tremendous benefits for the believer. The best drink according to Quran is milk. In the Quran, Allah also describes the rivers of milk in heaven. The best food according to Quran is honey, which cures several problems and is the sweetest gift to humans from Allah. Normally, the Quran declares Friday as the most blessed day of the week, and the month of Ramadan is the best month of the year, and the night of Qadr has been described as a night better than 1,000 month. Its significance is described in chapter Al-Qadr. And now we'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. We start off with the Spotlight, a daily program which covers the most important events happening in the world today. After that, we have Back to Reality. Guests on this program have experienced living in a non-Muslim country. The main theme of the program is Muslims living in non-Islamic country. And to round up this hour's programs,